For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome, everyone, to episode 214 of the NBA Podcast. I'm Brian Toporek, and today we're going to continue on with the Bye Felicia series. We're going to say goodbye to the New Orleans Pelicans, the Los Angeles Lakers, thankfully, the Minnesota Timberwolves, and the Sacramento Kings. We'll also have some brief thoughts on Kenny Atkinson and Ernie Grunfeld. Before we get to all of that, though, a reminder that you can follow us on Twitter at the NBA Pod. In our bio, you can find our Twitter handles, so give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes, so please subscribe, download, leave some five-star reviews. And we're now being hosted on Spreaker, so check them out on Twitter at Spreaker. Joining me today, as always, is my very stable genius of a co-host, Morten Jensen. How's it going, Mort?
After watching that Joker trailer, I'm doing very, very well, Brian.
That did look good. That did look good. Maybe DC will make a good movie. Who knows?
Well, they've made two good movies in a row, at least, with Aquaman and Shazam, so come on now.
Yeah. I haven't seen Shazam. I don't know.
Well, you should look forward to it.
Yeah, it looks good. I'm excited for it, but I'm also saving up for Endgame, I think.
Oh, for sure. Look, Endgame is the big one, especially this month. My God, I'm looking so much forward to that.
It's going to be good. And I'm hyped because the Sixers just got a mole in Greg Monroe.
Yep.
Very, very exciting stuff. Lord knows they didn't have enough centers. Five wasn't enough. They needed a sixth. Great roster composition, Sixers.
Well, he can tell you all about the Bucks and you know, the Celtics, like you alluded to. Yeah.
And the Raptors, too. He's got dirt on all of them.
Right. Oh, I totally forgot about that. That's right.
Yeah, buddy. I'm excited. All right, before we get to the Bye Felicias, let's hit two quick news nuggets. First, ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski reported the other day that the Brooklyn Nets are finalizing extensions with head coach Kenny Atkinson and his staff. Thoughts?
That is the correct play, because the Brooklyn Nets have been doing very, very well lately. Mm-hmm. They've established a culture. People seem to be thriving. Players are developing. You know, D'Angelo Russell is an all-star. Obviously, Caris LeVert was an MIP favorite until he went down. Like, yeah, you have to reward positive results, and Kenny Atkinson's staff has absolutely lived up to all those things. So, yeah, makes sense all the way through.
Yeah, I feel like I've never seen NBA Twitter completely agree on anything before. Like, you just... You know, like, no matter what you say, there's always some jerk who's like, oh, well, actually. But when the Atkinson news came out, I didn't see a single person saying anything other than like, oh, great job, Nets. Or like, well deserved. Yeah. He totally, you know, they're just doing a great job there, especially considering what they inherited a couple years ago. For them to be at this position right now, like, they've rebuilt more quickly than teams that have been rebuilding for a decade. It's incredible. Right. It's very well deserved for Atkinson. I'm happy. Happy to see I think Sean Marks is hopefully going to be next if he hasn't gotten an extension already. Like, those guys just, they're crushing it. And I'm excited to see what they continue to build this summer now that they have, you know, an enticing package to sell to free agents.
I'm actually, when you were talking about, like, the Twitter reactions and whatnot, so you're actually telling me that there's not a single person out there who made the, well, hasn't won anything yet argument.
I'm sure there was, but thankfully I'm not following them.
And yeah, okay.
By design. But yeah, if you guys haven't checked it out, Howard Beck actually published a piece on Bleacher Report today about like this upcoming free agent search and like how all the New York and LA markets have never had this much cap space at the same in the same summer. And, like, you know, the Lakers and the Knicks have been the preeminent, oh, we're the best franchises, we'll get all the free agents, exceptionalism, blah, blah, blah. But he talked to a bunch of different executives and scouts around the league, and a lot of them were like, actually, the Clippers and the Nets are much better positioned to get these star free agents than the Lakers and the Knicks. So it's, I'm really excited to see what happens next with the Nets, but give Beck's piece a read today if you haven't. Some,
is that two pieces for Beck within, like, a week and a half?
It is, I know.
Well, well, he's on fire.
The Dirk and D-Wade one was in the works for months now. Yeah. Yeah, and this one was, too. It just, I think, now that... He's got another one coming out Friday, I believe. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
There you go, Beck.
I know. He's got to keep him busy ahead of the playoffs. the other big piece of news that came out this week was yesterday, the Washington Wizards parted ways with longtime team president Ernie Grunfeld. We talked a lot about the Wizards the other day, Mort, so we don't need to go too far in depth here. But what were your thoughts on the Grunfeld firing?
You know, it's, look, it's never awesome to you know, to rejoice at someone getting fired. That's not cool.
Yeah.
But it was time. It was absolutely time. And I think it's also fair at the same time to congratulate Wizards fans at the same right. time, because no, I know that sounds really harsh, but it's true, because Wizards fans felt like they were, you know, in a hostage situation, because things were just not moving forward. They were doing the same thing over and over again. And I think complacency was a real thing in that organization.
Yeah.
So to that extent, now they're finally going to do something new. They have a blank canvas. I actually just wrote about this on my Danish Patreon today, that it's going to be so exciting to follow them for the next couple of years, because whoever they hire, and I think, was it Tim Connolly? That's the favorite.
Yeah. Well, they want him. I can't.
Yeah, they want it.
I don't know why he, in God's green earth, he would leave the Nuggets to join the Wizards, but.
Right. I don't think that happens either, but it's interesting that they're, you know, they're looking at the proper names. Let me just put it that way.
That's true.
And I think it's just going to be so exciting, because when a team fires a GM, especially a long tenure GM, it's because they need a change in culture. And I think that is what, that's the area that I'm personally most into when it comes to rebuilding teams. Like, you know, you can sometimes have the same regimes rebuilding, like currently the Chicago Bulls, for example, where you just kind of know, well, it's not a culture change. It's still the same people at the top. So you have to assume that it's still the same caliber players they're looking for, with the same strengths and weaknesses and whatnot. So it's basically just a continuation of a failed product. Whereas when you bring in a brand new GM, he has to establish a culture. He has to establish, like, the day to day. He has to hire new people. I hope that they clear out everyone, like the entire coaching staff, just change it up. The entire, you know, front office, just change it up. Unless you have someone there who is, like, really proving their salt, and then fine. Just make sure that you add to that whole team. Like, get more scouts, get more analytic people. Like, just fill it up with basketball knowledge and see how you go.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. Ted Leonsis, the owner of the Wizards, came out afterward and said something along the lines of he wants to scout best practices from other organizations. And he even conceded that, like, maybe we weren't spending money in the right places. Which is, I feel like that's a pretty humbling admission to make, especially for a team owner. But, you know, it's interesting because, yeah, the Wizards for a long time have been chasing mediocrity. Like, they keep giving up first-round picks for rentals that are going to leave, or trying to duck the luxury tax for, you know, for, like, this season in particular. The moves at the deadline, trading Otto Porter to the Bulls, was just to get out of the luxury tax. And I think, really, I mean, we said this last episode. You can hear more thoughts about the Wizards. Go back and listen to the last episode. But the John Wall injury changes everything for them. Like, they could have talked themselves into just being undone by bad injury luck this year, because Wall had the heel issue. Porter missed 10 games. Dwight's been out for all but 9 games. You know, they could have, like, talked themselves into running it back next year and thinking things are going to change, even though they weren't. But the Achilles injury, Wall's now out for most, if not all, of next season. Beal has 2 years left on his deal. Like, you have to confront reality and know this isn't going to get better. It's only going to get worse. what's our plan moving forward? And right. It makes sense because you're going to have to turn the page on the era of we're building around John Wall and Bradley Beal, two all-star guards in our backcourt. You know, whatever happens with Beal, Wall is most likely done with his all-star days. So you're really turning the page on a new era of Wizards basketball, and it makes sense to bring in new leadership to start that process. You know, I know I've repeatedly said I do not want Sam Hinkie to take a job where he would just have to tear down and completely rebuild. But, like, that is the first name that comes to mind for the Wizards, because that's exactly what they have to do.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, look, here's the thing. When they have to come to the realization that John Wall isn't going anywhere because of the injuries and the mega contract and all that, that also opens up for taking on even more bad deals in compensation for draft picks. Yep. So, for example, Jan Mahinmi, who's going to be an expiring contract after July 1st, because he'll be entering the final year of his contract, like, see if you can shop him for someone who's on a bad deal with at least 2 years, 3 years left, and see if you can acquire some draft picks. Like, instead of being the team that consistently gives up draft picks, like, be the one who takes them on. And just do not care if you take on crap in the meantime. Like, it's 4 years. That it's honestly, it's a blessing in disguise when you look at it from the new guy coming in, whoever it's going to be. Yeah. Like, he will have, at the very least, a four-year window where everyone will know, well, we can't do jack because that John Wall contract is clogging things up. So you can get you can get us bad contracts on the books for that same amount of time. Mm-hmm. And then there's an end date to it. And then after John Wall and all the other contracts, presumably, that are going to be acquired, you know, and that's when they, you know, flip the table and go free agency hunting or whatever. Like, you just have 4 years now to gather assets in whatever capacity you may need it to.
Yep. That would be my, if I'm the Wizards, that's my first thing I'm asking candidates for to replace Grunfeld is, what is your plan? Like, we do you think we could be a playoff team still? Or are you willing to embrace a full-out rebuild? What's your plan for Bradley Beal moving forward? I have a piece going up either today or tomorrow at the Basketball Writers about this. It is a continuation of the conversation we had last episode. But, like, now I'm even more resolute in saying the Wizards need to trade Bradley Beal this summer. It's only going to get worse. You know, I go into, like, the whole Supermax, how that will even complicate things more for them. Like, it's got to happen. It's got to happen now. So, Godspeed to whoever takes that job.
Well, let me just say that I am available.
There we go.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, since we're talking about teams that need to trade their superstar, it's only fair that we transition now into the New Orleans Pelicans. And before we get to the Anthony Davis stuff, since that is...
I didn't know Christian Wood was on the trading block.
he might be. But before we get to Davis, let's talk about some positives. I'm not going to start with Christian Wood. Let's start with Drew Holiday.
Yeah, baby.
I know there was a lot of skepticism when they signed him to that big deal, even though they didn't really have a choice. It was like, your alternative is you lose Drew Holiday and you don't have the ability to replace him because you don't have cap space. But man, he's crushing it. I mean... Is he a top 5 point guard in the NBA right now?
Oh, wow. There's a curveball. I hadn't really thought about that. Now I have to go through it. Like, Dame.
Like, Steph, Dame. I know you won't put Russ in there.
No, but Kyrie.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, look. by the way, you know, the 2020, hats off, man. I mean, hats off. That's just, that's ridiculous. I mean, good on Russ. And especially, like, I don't know anything about Nipsey Hussle. I don't. But as I read more into it and kind of understand the reference now, like, that's just awesome. What a what a wonderful thing. I think you can make the argument, at least. I mean, if anything, he's definitely a top seven, right?
Right. Like, he's in that tier with, I mean, Chris Paul's up there still, Kyle Lowry. I would put Jrue Holiday above Kyle Lowry at this point.
Yeah, wouldn't you? Would you put him over Chris Paul also, when you really think about it?
I mean, if you're looking at the long-term trajectory, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But I'm thinking
right now. It's close.
Like, I mean, Chris has kind of lost a step. Like, I'm not trashing on him at all. He's still highly effective and a great, great point guard. But you can kind of sense his age now. And it seems like Drew is... I don't even think we've seen, you know, the unleashed version of Drew.
Yeah.
Because I get that he's taking 17 shots and that's quite a big number. But he's still playing alongside Anthony Davis over the course of 56 games. He's averaged 18 shots and, like, gets to the line a ton. So that's even more possessions that's just being used up. Like, when Davis leaves or is traded, and if you don't get a high-volume guy in, I wouldn't even be surprised one bit if Holiday starts averaging, like, 25, 26 points. Like, Bradley Beal numbers.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be surprised whatsoever.
He very well could be an all-star next year.
Oh, for sure. So, yeah, he's definitely up there. I mean, look at his numbers. Like, 21, 5 rebounds, 7.7 assists, a steal and a half, almost a block a game as well. I didn't even realize that before. Yeah.
Yeah. I know.
That's crazy.
I mean, I have caped for him forever, and I continue to cape for him, but I'm happy. I'm just happy he's getting the recognition that he's been due for a while now, because he's really effing good. And it's funny that I don't begrudge Anthony Davis for wanting to leave. I understand it completely. But it's funny that he does have a star sidekick in New Orleans right now. You know, like, people are acting like they don't have any talent there. And it's like, well, actually, Jrue Holiday is a top 20, 25 player in the NBA right now.
Yeah, and you have Julius Randle there as well. Like,
right?
I've been saying this for, like, months, that they had a lot of talent. There was just misplaced in terms of positions and, like, what you need. And,
right. The complete lack of wings killed them, and
that doesn't help. No,
I mean, the Pelicans did fail Davis in terms of their team building. They are not, you know, they're not flawless by any means here, or not blameless. But, like, between Holiday and Randall, I mean, Randall's had an incredible season. I really do hope they can retain him this summer. I know it's going to be tricky in terms of the cap space considerations, but he's been great. He's earned himself. You know, like, kudos to him. He took I think it was like a 2-year, $18 million deal, second year player option, bet on himself basically by only taking $9 million. Mm-hmm. Like, he is going to make bank this summer.
4 years, $100 million for sure.
Oof. I would not want to be the team that gives out that deal, but.
Why not? Given his age, that's going to be in the middle of his prime years.
I still have concerns about building an elite defense around him.
Yeah, but you're not building a defense around him necessarily. I mean, you're building around whoever is the superstar, then you add in pieces. And honestly, I know that he's not like an elite defender by any stretch, but since shedding all that weight, I think he's improved, and I think we've kind of been stuck, as you know, we usually are with these things. You know, been really slow at adapting to how he plays now. Like, at least now his foot speed has improved. He seems to be learning, you know, the whole let me bump you off your rhythm without getting called for a foul bit,
which he's
really good at. And I think his intelligence level is really high. I think just he needs the right system that can kind of support it, because let's be honest, the Lakers and Pelicans, not exactly the two smartest NBA organizations from like an X's and O perspective.
Right.
So if he goes to a team with a really, really smart head coach, like, for example, Dallas with Rick Carlisle, which is a destination I'm personally looking at a lot, I think he could just unlock so many things.
Yeah. I mean, I like it. I guess my question is still, like, what is his optimal position defensively? Because it feels like he might be best as a small ball center, but he doesn't give you the rim protection you want. But I also don't want him guarding stretch fours. So it's like, I still don't know. yeah, you're right. You're not building a defense around him. He's not Rudy Gobert or Joel Embiid right. or anything like that. But I don't know that he can be a 35-minute-a-game starter on a top-five defense.
No, but here's the thing, though. Do you really need a top-five defense to win in today's league? When you look at offense and the way that offense has improved over the past couple of years, like, yes, you will need a defense that is above league average, preferably mm-hmm. in the top 10. Mm-hmm. But I would wager that having a great offense at any point will beat out, you know, a great defense.
That's, that's a fair question. Like, look at the Rockets last year in particular. They had a good defense, but, like, that was right. their strategy. It was like, we're not going to stop Golden State. We just need to outgun them.
Right. And Julius Randle can certainly do that. Like, the 21 points he's averaging is coming in 30.4 minutes a game.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And he's shooting, let me just look, like 52% from the field. He's also getting to the line a ton, like 6.6 free throw attempts, again, in 30.4 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, you can put him in a gunning offense, and he'll produce.
Yeah, and he's shooting a career-high 34 from three, taking 2.6 attempts per game. He had never taken more right. than one before. I mean...
And that could improve.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't be one of... I don't want to be the team that gives him $25 million a year on a four-year deal, but I understand... He is going to get something along those lines, and I can understand why. And I do hope, whether it's in New Orleans or elsewhere, he finds the system that will optimize him, because there's a really good player in there. I still find it hilarious that the Lakers might have given away their two best lottery picks. Just let him walk.
There's no might there.
Yeah. Well, you know.
I think it's absolutely for sure.
There's a chance. I mean, Ball and Ingram could also still develop into something. Like, it took Randle and D'Angelo a couple of years before they really found their footing. So I'm not giving up on the current guys there, but they let two good ones go. Well,
they
found their footing
because they ended different places, though.
Yeah.
I don't think this would have come, necessarily.
Right. I agree.
Los Angeles.
Yeah. Especially now. Not next to LeBron.
Right. Yeah, right. I didn't even take LeBron into consideration.
Yeah.
It's weird, man. So what are you looking at from, you know, New Orleans moving forward? Obviously, we have to go into the AD stuff. But yeah. Like, let's assume that they resolve that situation and they get back what most think is, like, logical. Like, young guys and draft picks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do they do? Like, let's talk about Drew Holiday. He's still on a big contract. Then we're talking about Julius Randle. Hopefully, they can attain it or, you know, retain him.
Yeah.
But... like, if you keep those two guys and you have a bunch of youngsters and incoming draft picks, like, where do you go from there? Because Drew is, what, 28, 29, something like that?
This is his age 28 season. I can't remember if he's turned 29 already yet. All right. No, he turns 29 in June.
Okay, so he will be 29 by next season.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the age doesn't really... you know, match up well if you go that route. So it's like, what do you do?
Yeah, I mean, the tricky thing is after 2019-2020, their books are actually pretty clean. Like, they only have Drew's under contract, Davis will be gone. They have no one else under a guaranteed contract at that point. So, like, Solomon Hill and Etuan Moore will be entering the final years of their respective deals next year. Again, hopefully you retain Julius Randle. Who knows what happens? You got Jahlil Okafor on a cheap $1.7 million option next year, which is great for them. Like, he's not a stellar player, but, like, he's performed relatively well in Davis's absence in particular, and getting him for that cheap is whatever. That's fine. That's totally great. So, yeah, if you get... I think the tricky thing will be if you get guys... who are 1 year away. So let's say you trade him to the Lakers and you get a Brandon Ingram in return. He's going to be eligible for an extension right when your books clear up. Like, I think ideally you get guys who are entering their third season in the NBA. So you get a Tatum rather than a Jaylen Brown. So that way you can have him under his cheap rookie contract for two more years, and you have 2020, you'll have a lot of cap space in theory. In which you can round out the core, you know, like, let's say it's a Tatum, Randle, Drew core, you'll have cap space to get a nice complimentary cast in there, sign those guys to multi-year deals before Tatum comes up for an extension, and then your cap space goes away again. So, yeah, it's going to be a tricky balance for them, because you're right. It's, you know, even if they do keep Randall, he's 24. Drew will be, he'll be in like the Mike Conley role in a couple of years. Where,
yeah, that's what bothers me, man.
Yeah, but I mean, at this point, his deal isn't so big or bloated that he's untradeable, especially if he continues to play at this level. So maybe, I don't think you necessarily trade him right now, because I think he is a good culture setter for that team, and especially after you trade Davis, you're going to need that kind of veteran leadership and like just the, you know, the cachet of like, I've been with this organization, this is how things go. You need him to show guys the ropes. But then 2020, he's owed about $26 million. The year after that, he has a $26.9 million player option. By the time we reach that, the salary cap's going to be close to $120 million. That's a completely reasonable price. I think, you know, maybe at that point you look to trade him before he potentially leaves for nothing as a free agent. So, yeah, I mean, it all comes down to what they trade Davis for. But where do you think he ends up this summer? If you had, gun to your head, you had to make a prediction right now.
Oh, then I unfortunately have to go with Lakers.
I'll go with Celtics.
No, I mean, here's the thing. The only reason I'm not going with the Celtics is because I think Kyrie's leaving them.
Yeah. I want to get into that quickly, because that's one of the most interesting subplots is, you know, they waited out the Lakers at the trade deadline because they said, okay, the Celtics can't get involved till July 1st. We want them to give a bid at least. Like, we got to know what we're, you know, they could drive up the price. They have the best asset pool of any team in the NBA. We want to know what they're willing to offer. They're allegedly willing to offer anything, but you know Danny Ainge leaks and leaks and leaks, and so we'll see what actually materializes. But the Kyrie stuff complicates things, because they can't complete a trade for Davis until Kyrie either re-signs or leaves, which is July 1st. They could agree to a deal in principle, and they have to, frankly, before the draft, because they'll have at least 3, if not 4, first-round picks this year. That's a huge part of the appeal to any package they can offer the Pelicans. It's, yeah, we have Tatum and Brown, and, you know, if you want Gordon Hayward, if you want, in theory, a second superstar, we have Gordon Hayward that you can have. We will happily hand him off to you. Or otherwise, you can take, like, Marcus Smart. I think they would need to do it for salary matching, especially. So that, it's just like, do the Celtics pull the trigger on a Davis deal knowing that Kyrie can leave? Or, you know, Kyrie and Davis are apparently friends and have talked about playing together. Davis also has said, you know, that the Celtics aren't on his long-term list. So it's like a Mexican standoff, basically, between Davis and the Celtics right now, and Celtics and the Pelicans. It's like, it's game theory. Like, do you trade for Davis thinking that that will get Kyrie to stay? And do you give up, you know, you're going to have to give up a lot to get him, knowing that Kyrie could leave, and then Davis could leave in a year, and you could be left empty-handed.
Yeah. I mean, that's the situation, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's fascinating. Like, it is. Such a tough situation for Danny Ainge to deal with, which makes me so happy.
And while I absolutely love the very wonderful breakdown you had there, you're just forgetting one major thing. LeBron James usually gets what he wants.
Yeah, that's true. Especially with when he shares an agent with the guy who's going to get traded.
Exactly. And the guy is actually actively willing to go there, unlike a lot of other stars.
Yeah.
So that's why. I'm still high on the idea of moving him to the Denver Nuggets. I'm still there. I think that makes sense.
I like the idea you came up with last episode. Put him on the Atlanta Hawks. Let's have some fun.
Wait, that was Beal, though.
Oh, okay. Well, then screw it. Let's put Davis in the mix. They've got potentially 2 top 6 picks. They have some salary ballast you could throw in there. You could offer, I don't know. You could figure out some.
I mean, Beal and AD are draft buddies. Yeah. From the same class.
There we go. Let's do it. Make it happen.
Huh. I'll offer John Collins in that one. Yeah.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Well, since we're on AD and the Lakers, it's only natural we talk about the Lakers next. And here's my thing with the Lakers is the offer, you know, maybe New Orleans was interested in the offer that the Lakers made at the deadline, but they just wanted to see what Boston could offer before they take the Lakers one. The Lakers also will now have a lottery pick that they weren't 100% sure they could offer at the time. So it's probably going to be a late lottery pick, but it's still whatever. Maybe some New Orleans is in love with like two guys in the late lottery, and maybe that's appealing to them. The problem is the Brandon Ingram situation, which we talked about when the blood clot news came out. It really does complicate his trade value significantly because there's now this medical uncertainty hovering over him. If you trade for him, he's eligible for an extension right away. Yep. And if you're the Pelicans, you can't give him that extension this summer. I mean, he can be a restricted free agent next summer. You can just match what other offer sheet he signs. So you're not totally screwed, but that
it only takes one team.
Yeah, exactly. And it's still like, do you really want, when you're trading Anthony Davis in particular, do you really want that type of uncertainty to be the headliner in the package you receive?
No, of course not.
So, like the Lakers offer is worse. I would say the Lakers offer is worse right now, even factoring in the lottery pick. It's worse right now than what they offered at the trade deadline. Also, because they gave away Zubac for nothing.
Mm-hmm. Unless, of course, they win Zion, in which case...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that should be my response to the Davis question. Whoever lands Zion... Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that... I wouldn't be surprised. I have no sources on this, obviously. But I wouldn't be surprised one bit if New Orleans will be tracking that specifically. Like, if they don't end up with Zion themselves. Like, if they win the lottery, then I might even... Then I think if they win the lottery... They would actually go to Davis and say, well, who do you want? Like, we have a trade chip in Zion. If you want to, let's talk about you sticking around here. We have Zion right now. Mm. Do you want to play with Zion? Or we can move him for a star. Like, hey, Bradley Beal is available.
Yeah.
Like, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, that definitely looms large over all of these teams. Not just the one that we're talking about today. But, yeah, say the Knicks get Zion. Then... all of a sudden that, you know, the whole like KD, Kyrie, sign as free agents, Anthony Davis trade proposal becomes a lot more realistic. Or like, God forbid, if the Boston Celtics, they can't get Zion because they can't get number one. But, you know, if that Sacramento pick jumps up to two or three, now you suddenly have, all right, we can offer you Tatum, Brown, Smart, Hayward, whoever, plus a couple later first round picks, plus the rights to John Morant, RJ Barrett, Jarrett Culver, whoever you want.
Right. That would be attractive. Like, that would be very, very attractive. And I think maybe that's what we should really be looking at. The draft lottery and how it shakes out. Because that could just change the directions of it so much. And that's also why he's not going to get moved, you know, before.
Right.
That's
right.
At least, because technically, unless I misunderstand the rules here, the Pelicans, because they're not in the playoffs... as soon as their season ends, and the Lakers as well, theoretically, while the playoffs are going on, they could actually make a deal between themselves.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah. that's not going to happen because you just don't know how the lottery shakes out.
Right.
And but as soon as when it's lottery, it's in May, but like what, 18th or something? I don't even know.
Mid-May at some point.
Yeah, right. So the day after, that's when the front office of, you know, so many teams are just going to sit down and go, so let's talk AD.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, so we can't speculate too much on the Lakers AD stuff until we see how the lottery shakes out. The other big question for the Lakers, well, two other big questions. One, Luke Walton seems like a dead man walking.
Ugh, that's so dumb.
Who do you think they should go after, assuming they do fire him at the end of the season? Who do you think they should
rehire him immediately, if that counts.
You're not sold on Jason Kidd?
I am not sold on Jason Kidd, and I'm also not sold on Mark Jackson, who so obviously is going to be their new head coach, right?
Oh, man. I saw Ty Lue has been thrown around there as well.
Oh, no.
And then
this doesn't make it better, Bri.
And then Juwan Howard, I saw there were new odds came out yesterday that had Juwan Howard as the favorite.
All right, so now that I'd be down for. Juwan's a good guy, and he more than that, he was on the bench in Miami for even during his playing days. At the end of it, he was more like an assistant coach, and he's such a smart basketball player and basketball mind. I would be really intrigued to see what Juwan Howard could do as a head coach in the NBA. Absolutely, that one I would be down for, but going through the recycling bin.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see the point, and I hope that there would be like at least 15 clubs that would just jump at Luke Walton immediately if he's fired.
Oh, I would think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what he did with the Warriors hopefully has not been forgotten in this mess of a Lakers season. Like,
in today's world, you can absolutely be sure that it has. It's a what have you done for me lately league. You know that.
Yeah, that's probably true. But I mean, I think enough people have pointed out that this is not all Luke's fault. One, when he came to the job, he didn't know he was getting LeBron in a couple of years, and as we saw with David Blatt in Cleveland as well, and even Spo in Miami, like, LeBron, every time he comes somewhere, he wants to handpick his coach. If your front office and your ownership lacks the backbone to stand up to him, then you cave and you give him his handpicked coach. Miami had Pat Riley, and he was like, no, LeBron, shut up. We're doing it my way, and then they won two titles, which worked out well in retrospect. But, you know, Cleveland with Blatt and Ty Lue did not. And the Lakers, by all accounts, it seems like Magic and Pelinka did not hire Luke Walton. It seems like they want their own guy. And then LeBron also, I mean, he hasn't publicly thrown Luke under the bus, but there have been enough rumblings that he's unhappy and wants his own guy that you can only assume it's going to happen. So I'm with you in that. Mark Jackson and Jason Kidd would be the two worst options by far, which would be so hilarious if they happen. Like, I'm rooting for that with every bone in my body, just because the comedy on Lakers Twitter alone would be worth it. Juwan Howard, I didn't realize this, but not only did he play with LeBron in Miami, he was assistant coach the last year in Miami, he also played with Pelinka in college. Pelinka was on those Michigan teams with the Fab Five. So there are some like strong Lakers connections there. And then Ty Lue obviously like was a Laker. You know, he's got connections as well. I did see
he saw a lot of the Lakers floor when Allen Iverson was
Sure did. Yeah. I mean, I did find a tweet last night from Magic from like 2014 when the Warriors fired Mark Jackson that was like, if any team needs a good coach, Mark Jackson is now available, so I'm very excited to see how this disaster goes down. It's going to be a slow-moving disaster, and it should be hilarious. But the other question is for the Lakers. Let's say they don't get Anthony Davis. They are very publicly fiending for a superstar sidekick for LeBron James.
Right.
Do you think they actually get one this summer if they don't get Davis?
Just for the sheer lunacy of the situation, I kind of hope not, because I want this. I just want this to be weird.
Yeah.
But no, they're going to get someone that could be Jimmy Butler or like, I don't know, maybe they overpay for Tobias Harris or something. I don't know. Like, this was just like two Sixers just off the top of my head, right?
Thanks for that.
Yeah, sorry. But like, a dark horse candidate could probably be Kyrie, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's like, there's definitely some names out there that could be of interest. But it comes down to who wants to play with LeBron, right? And
right.
You kind of know that KD is on the no wagon. Like, he wants to go somewhere else. Or maybe, let's see if he sticks around with the Warriors. I'm not closing that door yet. I'm not ready to.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's a Laker. I don't think Klay Thompson will be a Laker. I know all the rumors and whatnot, but like, sure. No.
Yeah.
And if it's Jimmy Butler.
Oh, my God.
And like, could you imagine if their big summer is like getting Jimmy Butler and signing Mark Jackson?
And then Lakers fans try to sell everyone on that, just like they tried to sell everyone on Jordan Clarkson not being terrible.
Oh my God, I can't stop laughing. That's so great.
Yeah.
Like, Jimmy would immediately not respect Mark.
Oh my God.
And it would go bad. Like, in the middle of preseason, it would go bad. It would go sour, and LeBron and Jimmy would not be able to go. Oh my God. That could happen. Lakers fans, we're not trying to crab on you. Like, we're looking at this organization, and we could just see like the level of incompetence that runs deep through it. And you know, it's all about names for this franchise, right? It's always been about the names. Like, you see how mad Lakers fans are for even when they signed LeBron. It was like, no, let's stick with the young core. Like, let's do what NBA teams are doing. Like, let's rebuild. Yeah. And then, nope, name. And everyone went, like, pissed. And I get it. And I think it's only going to get worse because now you have LeBron. I mean, if they win the lottery with Zion, there's no chance in hell they're keeping him, right?
Oh, no. I would assume not. I mean, I think you're right. Like, there is enormous disaster potential for this team. Like, there's high upside because they have enough salary cap space to sign someone. But as you alluded to, if I'm a wing especially, I don't want to go to the Lakers.
Right.
And, you know, it does take a certain type of person because you've seen it with Kevin Love and Chris Bosh in particular. If you're the number three guy, you're going to get none of the credit and take all of the blame.
Yeah.
You know, it sucks. It's like not, yeah, you might win a championship and that might be fulfilling, but it's going to be like a very frustrating time in your life otherwise, like in the build up to that moment. And you can't be sure that you're going to win a championship. So, like, if I'm. Tobias, I think, is staying with the Sixers. I think they're going to give him, if not a max, close to it. I think that's pretty much a done deal. Jimmy, I think, is much more available, but I would guess he prefers a team like Brooklyn, hopefully, than the Lakers.
Yeah. Right. Jimmy's mindset can change literally on a per-minute basis.
Right. So if I'm the Lakers, I think, like, the problem is I think a big would be the most logical route to go. But there aren't guys on the market who I'd feel great about giving a max deal to. Like, I think their best bet may be getting DeMarcus Cousins in there, but coming nowhere close to a max.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I think you could sell that pretty well to the franchise, or, like, the fan base. Because, you know, he's DeMarcus Cousins. He was a 25-10-5 guy a year ago. He's probably going to win a ring with the Warriors this year. He brings championship pedigree. LeBron loves him. He's going to bring some, like, toughness and physicality, whatever. But I don't know that they, you know, they've been building up this, like, we're going to have two top five players. We're going to have LeBron and someone else. We're going to get LeBron and Kevin Durant. I don't think Durant goes there. I don't think Kawhi goes there. Kyrie's a wild card, I agree. But it just, reading the tea leaves, it seems like it's either Boston or New York for him.
Right, agreed.
Kemba maybe, but, like, I don't know. It sounds like Kemba just really might want to stay in purgatory in Charlotte, which, good for him, man. you do, Kemba. I don't care. So, like, I think it's a big, or they trade for Bradley Beal would be my guess.
Yeah. And let's just agree that whatever they do, it's not going to be enough.
Yeah.
That's really just the sad part about all this. It's not going to be enough. Now, you had those two questions. I have one that I want you to answer me.
Okay.
Is Lonzo Ball good? No, but I mean, look, let me I've seen a lot of love for Lonzo, especially on Twitter, and like even like Chicago Bulls fans, all of them are just like, oh yeah, look, we need to get Lonzo, he's available. What am I missing here? Yeah, I know his defense is outstanding and right. he's got great length and all that, but like, what else? Like, yeah, he's a playmaker, but what is he offering you, really?
I would say he is not currently a good player, but you right. can see the upside there. I think yeah. he will not be maximized next to LeBron James. I think Agreed. the best thing for him would be a trade away from the Lakers. So, uh-huh. you know, hopefully, whether it's for Davis or Beal or whoever, hopefully he gets out of there this summer. But, no, I mean, right now, you can't argue that he makes an enormously positive impact. I mean, he's had a below average PER each of his first 2 years. He's a career 38% shooter from the field. He's shooting 43.7% from the free throw line.
For his career. Yeah, this yeah. year it's 41.7%. Yep.
Like, it's not, I mean, that's like Shaq. That's putting Shaq to shame. It's worse than Shaq, right?
Yeah, and he's taken 48 free throws over 1,423 games.
Minutes.
Oh, sorry. yeah, it's been right. a long day. Yeah, yeah. minutes, yeah. obviously, yes.
Right. Yeah.
But I'm just looking at that, and I'm going, I watch him play like everyone else. I obviously see the athleticism. I obviously see the playmaking and the defense. That's great. But I think the step towards becoming this supposed star is being able to have a two-way game, right?
Mm-hmm.
He is so far behind the curve offensively. I mean, dimensions behind just what's league average.
Yeah.
That where do you... like? Even the most optimistic Lonzo Ball fan is... I mean, has to at least acknowledge deep within themselves that, okay, he may not never get a handle on the offensive issue. Like, yeah. this dude is not going to be like a 20-point scorer and a 45% knockdown shooter.
Yep.
I don't ever think that's going to happen. Like, look at how he plays offensively. It's just so inconsistent. And I know the LA angle and, you know, playing with LeBron, all that, I get it. But the leap he would have to take offensively would have to be astronomical for him to be a positive influence on both sides of the ball.
I'll give him this.
Mm-hmm.
He's better than Markelle Fultz.
Yes. I will give him that also. Yes. Yeah.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I think since we're on disappointing prospects, we might as well just shift to the Minnesota Timberwolves. And let's start with the Andrew Wiggins. Our routine Andrew Wiggins concerns. Concern trolling? I don't even know if it's trolling. It's just like, no, it's I think...
it's not trolling.
I think even Minnesota fans at this point are just like out on Andrew Wiggins. But
well, not if you catch my mentions once in a while.
Really? How? How are there people still? So
yeah, I think they're just emotionally attached to the guy. And also, yeah. I will say this: Minnesota fans bring up one thing that we have not talked about, and I think is should be mentioned.
Okay,
he's a good guy. Like that's off the court, he's a very very good guy. Conscious about like social issues and like gives back to the community. Like he's legitimately a good human being.
Okay.
So I think we should take that and say absolutely agree. Everything I've heard about him from a personal perspective, aces. So I'll give him that. Absolutely. That's awesome.
Yeah. Unfortunately, being a good guy does not deserve $150 million.
That's very accurate. Yes.
And so I think, I mean, we'll hit on the positives in a second, but I think for Minnesota, this is the number one concern moving forward, is mm-hmm. Andrew Wiggins has now been on your team for 5 years. He has gotten, especially over the past 2 years, you could excuse his downtick in efficiency last year because he got shifted into that number three role next to Jimmy Butler. He was not certain where his touches were coming from, whatever. Jimmy Butler didn't play many games with the Timberwolves this year, and Andrew right. Wiggins had his worst year by far.
Yeah.
Like, there are no more excuses for Andrew Wiggins at this point.
Right.
And he just isn't getting better, and now you do have to wonder. Like, remember, before they gave him that extension, the team owner, like, spoke to an AP reporter and was like, I need to sit down and have a face-to-face with this kid and say, like, look, I'm willing to commit to you, but you need to commit to getting better. And so far, Wiggins has not done that. Or at least, right. I mean, maybe he has and it's just not translating on the court, but from what we're seeing, he has not made substantial improvements. If anything, you could argue he regressed this year.
No, has he even gotten better if he hasn't shown out on the court? Like, this is the whole, if a tree falls in the forest, yeah, no one's around thing. Yeah. Because you might be better in practice, but if you can't, you know, transfer that into game action, then what's the point?
Right. Right? I mean, it's a fair question. So, like, what if anything, can the Timberwolves do moving forward to get this guy to be what, even if he doesn't reach the heights, I mean, I think it's fair to say he's probably not going to reach the heights we thought he would coming into the league. But what can they do to get this guy to be more than rich man's Harrison Barnes?
Get him off the roster? Well, I think, I was joking, but there probably is some level of truth to that. I think maybe he will fare better with his second team. Like, maybe that's a wake-up call.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm that's just me spitballing, honestly. I have no idea. From a on-court perspective, he just needs to stop taking so many two-pointers. Like, his shot distribution is just so bad in terms of where the shots are coming from. Mm-hmm. Like, I think he has to look himself in the mirror and realize what he is. He's a 6'8", superbly athletic wing. Like, he is physically gifted beyond belief.
Mm-hmm.
Just get to the damn basket. Like, you know, right. I hate always using the Bulls as a comparison, but they're just such a weird team that always has the perfect analogy for things.
Yeah.
So back in the day, Luol Deng, you know, a long athlete, not significantly, you know, athletic, but, you know, kind of athletic-ish.
Sure.
Was taking a lot of threes and it didn't really work out. So in his third season, he only took 7 threes. But he shot almost 52% from the field.
Mm.
And that was back in the day where we didn't really look at true shooting percentage and effective field goal percentage as much. But we saw him, like, becoming more an efficient player.
Uh-huh.
And that helped him a lot. Like, because he was kind of forced to play near the rim and like, attack the basket a lot more. This was Scott Skiles who kind of instilled that in him. Then it opened up his game. So when Coach Tibbs took over, he was kind of like, okay, now you can go back to shooting a lot of threes. But in those years prior, like, Luol had learned how to attack the basket and identify holes in defense and all that. So I think maybe this is a situation where you actually have to scale back certain things from Wiggins in order for him to expand at a later point.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's, I mean, it's fair. Worth a shot. I'm not sure it works, but...
Right. Yeah, no, you basically say, like, get him confident in a certain role, like a limited role. Say you were doing, be a 3-and-D guy. Like, we're paying you $150 million to be a 3-and-D guy, but, like, just stay glued to Robert Covington, soak up everything he has to know, emulate him, and then once you're good in that, we can start expanding your palette. Because right now, right. I mean, yeah, like, what is Andrew Wiggins' identity right now? I couldn't define it.
No, I don't think I don't think he can.
Yeah.
When you watch him play, right, he's all over the court and not in a good way.
Right.
Like, when you can have a game from him where he takes, like, where he goes into the post 5 times and he takes 2 off the dribble threes and has, like, you know, 7 attempts that are long twos, no three throws whatsoever, or, you know, it's just where you just look at him after the game and go, what the hell were you doing all game? Like, what was the game plan? And at some, obviously, like, coaching matters, but now he's gone through several coaches and it's been an issue all the way through. So, like, it's just important, I think, to identify certain areas where he can be better. I mean, the free throw percentage to me is also an indicator that his confidence is just shut. Like, I don't think he is close to being a confident man right now. And you need to get that back first and foremost.
Yeah, totally agree. Yeah, I mean, and his free throw attempts are significantly down.
4.1 a game.
Yeah, he had at least 5.5 in each of his first three seasons. He's hovered around 4 for each of the last two. And he's shooting, as you said, he was shooting 76% from the line his first three seasons. He's below 70 these past two. The Butler thing seemed like it sapped a lot of his confidence already. And you would think that with Butler gone, he would assert himself more, but he just hasn't really done that. The flip side of that is Karl-Anthony Towns, who, had a very weird kind of lackadaisical start to the season. It just seemed like the chemistry with him and Butler was so off that it seemed like they had to trade Butler to avoid losing Towns for good. So they do. And then Towns really starts to assert himself. Like, since the All-Star break in particular, he missed the first two games because he was in that car accident. He comes back over his last 17 games. Karl-Anthony Towns is averaging 28.5 points, 13.9 rebounds, 3.9 assists, 2.4 threes, 1.2 blocks, 0.6 steals, in only 32.8 minutes.
Yeah. You could argue Herbert news are just insane.
Yeah, you could argue he's been like one of the best two or three players since the All-Star break. So, there was some concern about him plateauing as well. Like, that's gone for me. It seems like whatever happened, maybe this car accident, he said, like, I should have died. Like, maybe a near-death experience suddenly made him wake up and be like, seize the day. But whatever happened, like, Karl-Anthony Towns looks like a legit straight-up superstar over the past month. And he still has these games. They played Philly the other night and Embiid didn't play. And Jonah Bolden kind of ate his lunch, which is not a great sign. So maybe he's just kind of burnt out and like needs to take the rest of the season off and come back stronger next year. But like, whereas I still have concerns about Wiggins moving forward, it does seem like Towns is really starting to piece it together and realize like this starts with me. The culture of the team starts with me. I'm the $158 million man. Or it could be $190 million man if he makes the third team NBA All-NBA this year. Like, he needs to set the tone every night. And if he's not being aggressive, the rest of the team's going to follow.
I agree. The thing that concerns me about Towns, though, is you need unsuccessful teams to have some level of a player who's an enforcer. Or someone who's at least tough-minded. And like the Draymond types in Golden State, right? And it seems that that type of player is just something he cannot gel with.
Yeah.
Which just makes me fear that if he can't gel with that type of player, then he risks being a significant talent, I should add, that could never really compete legitimately for a championship ring because he won't really allow certain people next to him. I understand that Jimmy was Jimmy with all that entails and that Jimmy is certainly not an easy persona.
Yeah,
but Jimmy's not the only type of player in the NBA who's like that. There are a lot of guys out there who are trying to push buttons to make your teammates better, and who are a downright necessity, especially in playoff settings.
Yeah,
and you just have to wonder, how does Towns bridge that with people who have strong personalities? Because if he crumples entirely because he has strong personalities on his roster, then what?
Yeah.
For me, it's like in the mental thing. I hope for his sake that this Jimmy Butler situation was a learning experience, and from henceforth, he'll think, I need to toughen myself when I have these guys around. I need to be able to stand my own ground.
Yeah.
I hope that's the case, but we saw with Jimmy initially in the early part of the season that he had this effect on Towns that he was just checked out.
Right. Yeah,
for sure. Remove Jimmy, and suddenly it's like, oh, now I like playing again. Well, that's not how it works.
Yeah, and gear up for a third-team All-NBA center debate. Probably next episode, I guess. I think the decision between him and Gobert in particular, it could be very costly for the Timberwolves, but I think it's pretty fascinating because you could make a pretty solid case for either one of those guys. Two other Timberwolves things I want to hit on. One, point guard. Jeff Teague has a $19 million player option. Derrick Rose is a free agent. And Tyus Jones is a restricted free agent. Let's assume Teague opts out, because even, I mean, I think he could get more than, or he could get at least $19 million on the open market anyway, but he'll presumably want a long-term deal, and he can, you know, he can probably see all the teams with cap space this summer realize, like, players of his caliber are most likely the ones to get overpaid. So let's assume he opts out. What do you do at point if you're the Timberwolves next year? Do you try to bring Teague, Rose, Jones back, or do you look somewhere else?
I bring Jones back, and I let Derrick Rose walk, and I let Jeff Teague walk if he opts out.
Yeah.
And then I live with it if Jeff Teague opts in, and then I just give all the backup minutes to Tyus. No, you know what? Screw it. I start Tyus Jones, and then I take Jeff off the bench as a combo guard.
I like it. It'd be funny if they bring back Ricky Rubio.
I don't, can that team afford another non-shooter?
No. No, God, no. But, I mean, that was the whole reason they got rid of him in the first place. But
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I do hope whatever happens, Tyus Jones gets more minutes. It's long overdue. Mm-hmm. The other question, Dario Saric has not been as impactful as the Timberwolves would have hoped, I think it's fair to say. His you know, his efficiency is okay. He's 45.4% from the field, 38.9% from three. Like, on a per 36 basis, he's done well, but he just, it hasn't quite clicked for him the way you would have expected it to. I mean, I think it's fair to say they probably, you know, thought he would have supplanted Taj Gibson in the starting lineup pretty soon thereafter arriving in Minnesota, but it took until February for that to happen. He's eligible for an extension this summer. I think most likely he will not be getting one. But how confident are you in Saric being the answer at the four next to Towns long term?
I like it. I just think they're using him entirely wrong, because when you look at the amount of touches that he gets as a playmaker compared to the amount of shots he's taking,
yeah,
that's just off. Dario is a type of guy who can actually be a playmaker at the three and four. Like, he's primarily a four in my opinion, but can't slide down to the three. So he's just like, he's just a forward, you know? And he handles the ball a lot, or should be handling the ball a lot, because he can pass, he can initiate the offense. He, you know, he's great at cutting after, you know, making a pass, just reading the floor. And it seems like, at least to me, that Minnesota is just using him primarily as a scorer. Like, he's the end target for passes. He's not the one who initiates the passes, initiate the plays. Mm-hmm. And I just think they're missing out on so much goodness. Like, Dario Saric, when he's such a weird player, but he's weird in the best way. I mean that in the best way, because he offers so many tricky things, and you just have to realize what he can do. And if you pigeonhole him, you're not going to get nearly as much out of him as you may want. You need to give him some type of freedom. I'm not saying he's Draymond Green necessarily, but he's Draymond-esque in some regards. Like, he's a good rebounder, and as soon as he, you know, grabs a board, he will just take it off the backboard, run down the floor, and initiate the offense. Here, he's like, oh, okay, I'll hand it off to the point guard, or run into the corner, or, like, circle the three-point line looking for shots. Like, no, that's not his game. That's never been his game.
Yeah, I do hope they can figure out a more consistent role for him next year, because I'm still high on the guy. I mean, he's a good player, and he proved last year he could contribute to a winning team. I'm with you. They just aren't using him correctly. So I hope he gets some confidence. You know, I hope he's gotten some confidence over the last month or so, and, you know, he has started to find his groove a little bit since moving into the starting lineup, but... Yeah, I mean, I hope they give him a fair shake, even if they don't. I don't think they're going to assign him an extension this summer. I think they'll need to see more out of him. But I hope they do get to see more out of him next year. Let's move now. Let's finish off with the Sacramento Kings. One of the best surprises in the NBA this season. I mean, I looked into this. The last time they were relevant in February and March, I think it was like 2007. Like, George Bush was still the president.
Yeah. Oh, that's almost depressing.
Yeah. Yeah. It was 2007, 2008 was the last time they had 38 wins. Like, they've just been terrible for a decade plus now. And, yeah, you know, they're
so long.
They're probably going to finish below 500, but I don't think anyone could call this season anything but a success for Sacramento. Like,
oh, for sure.
I mean,
for sure.
They with Buddy and De'Aaron Fox, that backcourt, it looked like they have building blocks now. It's like, it's the first time with Cousins, they always had like, it was him and what else? But now they have Buddy Hield, De'Aaron Fox, they have Marvin Bagley, Harry Giles. Like, you can see the foundation of a good team forming here.
Mm-hmm. I have nothing to add. I entirely agree. You just stated the obvious here. Yeah. I mean, look, and they just fit so well together, especially Fox and Hield.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Fox is a natural playmaker, but he's not the type of guy who will turn down shots either. Like, right. If he has a drive, he'll take it. I think he's one of those point guards who just understands the balance between being aggressive and being a playmaking initiator.
Yeah.
So, and having that with a guy who moves a lot off the ball and is a three-point threat constantly, that's just a really good marriage, at least offensively.
Yeah.
And I think Bogdan Bogdanovic, who's come off the bench for, you know, the vast majority of the season,
mm-hmm.
has just provided such a spark. Personally, I think, you know, he should be the guy they start the three full-time. I think he's earned it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they would get more out of him as a full-time starter. But having said that, what he's giving them off the bench as a floor stretcher and as a secondary playmaker has been wonderful. I really think he's one of the most underrated talents in the league. And then, of course, Marvin Bagley. We've praised Marvin Bagley several times this season. I mean, he's just such an energy player and an energy player with skill, significant skill, a tremendous level of talent. And he's found a way to convert all that energy into statistical production, which my hat is off to that.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a testament not only to the players, but also to Dave Yeager.
Yeah.
Because he really fit his system to match his personnel. Like, he didn't go into this year saying, you know, this is my system, regardless of who we have, and we're going to play this way. Like, he saw, all right, we have a high energy, bouncy young guy in Marvin Bagley. We have De'Aaron Fox, possibly the fastest guy in the league. Last year, they were dead last in pace. Dead last. This year, they're third. Like, they're just running teams up and down the floor the whole night. And, could that style work in a seven-game series? Would that make them a favorite against anyone in the playoffs right now? I don't know. Probably not this year. But, like, in the regular season, when you're coming off of back-to-back, the last thing you want to do is have this, like, a bunch of young, annoying guys who are better than you think they are just running you up and down the floor for 48 minutes. It's a great strategy for an upstart team. And, I mean, like, the Warriors, I think they beat them all four times, but all four games were close. And after every game, you can find quotes from them. They were like, yo, these kids are good. Like, they're not far removed from being a legitimately good team. Like, They got respect from Durant and Draymond Green in particular. So, like, they're who building something not, here.
Who are both not inclined to hand out praise.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like, maybe they realize by the time by the time the Kings totally rise up, the Warriors will be on the way down, so they don't see them as, like, a threat right now. So, whatever. But, yeah, I mean, they got respect from those guys. And they, you know, if a team that has won three of the past four championships and appears to be on its way to win its fourth in the past 5 years, if they are dapping you up like that, that means something. So I think it's really, it's a testament to what they've built. Lord knows it took long enough to get there, but this is the most promise they've had in literally more than a decade. So I think the big question for them, well, one, this summer, is Willie Cauley-Stein. Is a free agent, or a restricted free agent. How much are you willing to pay him to keep him in Sacramento?
It's a good question because, you know, we've talked about Willie before. You know, he came into the league as sort of a defensive-oriented player. That was at least the idea behind him, and he kind of flipped the script and became more of an offensive-minded player and not as much of a defensive presence, which is kind of weird. So yeah. I wonder what their top-tier potential is with him in the group, because I do feel they need more defense in that group. Right. There isn't enough. Like, Marvin Bagley, primarily offensive player. Buddy Hield, primarily offensive. De'Aaron Fox is a great defender, but he also needs to shoulder the burden of being like the primary ball handler and the secondary shot creator. Yeah, for secondary shot creator for himself. But and so that's like that's a lot of possessions that you require from De'Aaron Fox for himself. Bogdan Bogdanovic, also a primarily a score first player. You know, you don't really have all those defensive minded guys there, and I would love to see them upgrade the center position with a strong defender, whoever that might be. The question is that guy available this year? Right. If not, I would probably try to re-sign Willie to, I guess, a reasonable contract with the mindset of Blake Griffin-ing him.
Mm. I mean, he strikes me as one of those guys that, like, restricted free agents in general tend to get screwed over. Just because teams don't want to, or they at least get passed over in the first couple waves of free agency, because teams don't want to tie up their salary cap space in an offer sheet and have it get signed and then, you know, tied up for 48 hours and then matched and then they miss their window on someone else. So I think he's going to miss that first wave for sure. He's not a guy, I think you're right. Like, I wouldn't go out of my way to re-sign him. Like, I wouldn't go above, probably, I mean, $15 million a year, absolutely not.
Yeah, no.
Even there, I start to get nervous. Like, if Yusuf Nurkic got 4 years, 42 last year, is that right? Like, I wouldn't go above what...
Yeah, something.
And, like, Clint Capella got 590, but, I mean, at least you can understand from that perspective what, you know, they weren't going to have cap space to replace him if he left, so I understand it. I mean, the problem for them is there aren't really, depending, there are a lot of guys with player options that can juice up the market a little bit, but there aren't all that many intriguing options otherwise. Like, Al Horford, if he opts out, could be, but you would have to pay him so much that I don't think it makes sense. Same with Hassan Whiteside. DeAndre Jordan, nah. I mean, he just doesn't fit the age of your group that well.
I said defensive inclined, Brian.
I know. So, like, Dwayne Dedmon's an interesting guy who I think could potentially be somewhat on the cheap.
And he can shoot.
Yeah. Like, that's probably a guy who I'd go after. Nerlens Noel would also be interesting just because he would fit with that, like, run up the floor, be defensive-minded, like, be springy. Yeah. He can't like shoot that with the lick, but...
No, didn't he sign for 2 years?
He has a player option for $1.9 million, which I would assume...
I'm assuming
he declines that just because, you know, he's played well enough that I think he'll merit some interest on the free agent market.
I actually like that. Maybe they're planning to use Harry Giles full-time as a center, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, that's possible, too. It sounds like they are really high on the Bagley-Giles front court combination, which makes sense. But I think you'd ideally want to get some reinforcements in there, whether it's a veteran or just Deadman, another...
as you mentioned.
Yeah, right. So, that might be the play. Or just bring back Boogie.
If Vogt drops that bomb...
Awesome. It would just be like... That would truly be light years ahead. If you're like, all right, Boogie, we're going to trade you... It's going to look acrimonious, but we're going to get Buddy Hield. We're going to get some picks. You know, it's going to give us the supporting cast we needed for you this whole time. And then you're going to come back in 2 years.
Yeah.
Light years ahead. The Sacramento Kings story.
Oh, man. And we couldn't have done it unless the Bulls matched LaVine.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. The only other thing for the Kings, I just need to beg them to stop flirting with the idea of Marvin Bagley at the three. It came up in Zach Lowe's piece the other day. Vlade Divac is still, like, insistent that Marvin Bagley could play the 3, 4, or the 5. Just stop it. He's a front court player. Just no.
Agreed. Like, primarily at least in a couple of years, I think, you know, the just being a rim-rolling center who can hit, like, the occasional three, that might be the best bet for him.
Yeah, that's totally fine. He can play the four or the five. I don't care. I don't care where you shuffle him. Just don't make him guard, like, Kevin Durant on the perimeter. He's going to get roasted. Don't make him guard Jimmy Butler. Like, what are you doing?
Well, you have to remember, Vlade played in a league where Kevin Garnett was playing the small forward.
I know. That's not ideal.
No. It's not. Keep in mind, I didn't say it was ideal. I'm just saying that's his range of reference, right?
Yes. Any other thoughts on the Kings before we wrap up?
Well, not really. Yeah, well, I guess we can talk a little bit about Harrison Barnes because, you know, he's got a $25 million player option.
Yeah.
I think he'll pick it up. But assuming he doesn't, that would suddenly free up a lot of money.
Yeah.
And if you, like you said, if you play the long game with Willie Cauley-Stein and maybe you get him for cheap and restricted free agency, and with all the hype, that I don't know. Maybe they should do the same as Atlanta and just try to secure themselves, like meetings with high-caliber players, just to show the world, hey, we're ready. Like I don't think that would be the worst thing in the world.
And to show players that, like, we're not a long-running joke anymore. Like, because the players, frankly, just to show agents, like, even if they don't get that player's agent will, in theory, represent other players, will spread word around the league that, like, hey, the Sacramento Kings have, like, professionalized their organization. They know what they're doing now. They're not, you know, flying by their seat of their pants.
Right.
Yeah, like, they have, I mean, if Barnes opts out, they could have close to $60 million in cap space. That's not a factor. I mean, they not factoring in Cauley-Stein's cap hold or anything like that. But like they could be a sneaky, gigantic player on the free agent market. Even with all of their salaries included for next year, they're only at $78 million. So they still have about, what is that, 31 or so to play with? So, like, they're not going to get a max player. They're not going to get Kevin Durant. But, like, even if you can get, I agree with you. If you can get that meeting and show Kevin Durant's agent that, we are a team to be reckoned with. We're not a joke. We're not the New York Knicks, even though Kevin Durant's going to go there. I think it would be immensely valuable.
Can I throw a fun name your way?
Yeah, please do.
Kawhi Leonard.
Ooh.
Because, like I said, Bogdan Bogdanović, in my opinion, you know, is worthy of being a starting small forward, like, full-time.
Yeah.
But he's still one of the weaker links on the roster. I'll fully acknowledge that. So if you have, you know, just move him to the bench and you put Kawhi in as the full-time starter there. Kawhi is also a multi-positional player. So you, and you know, the team that he'll have around him is filled with players that can thrive off of his presence. So you'll have De'Aaron Fox, Buddy Hield, Kawhi Leonard, Marvin Bagley, and then, you know, Harry Giles or Dwayne Dedmon or whatever you figure out at center.
Yeah, the problem for the Kings is that aside from, like, the top tier guys, the small forward market thins out pretty quickly. It's like Kawhi, Jimmy, Tobias, KD, and then it's like Chris Middleton. Then it's like Trevor Ariza and Wilson Chandler.
That's still a lot of players, though.
Yeah. I know.
You want the Bogdanović?
Bogey duo? Yeah.
Oh my God. Could you imagine some of the worst, you know, announcers in the league? You know, TV announcers just getting so confused.
Oh, man. It's
Bogdan Bogdanović and Bojan Bogdanović, and people would just go nuts. They would.
Yeah.
Oh, it'd be hell.
Their other option could be just to screw around in restricted free agency and drive up price on some guys. Like Kelly Oubre Jr. would be an interesting guy to just...
like the Western Conference version of Sean Marks?
Yeah, exactly.
I like it.
Dick some teams over.
I like it.
Yeah.
That would be fun. But no, I mean, I was just thinking about Kawhi because, like, he's a California kid.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
And he was talking about going to L.A., but, like... You know, if you can't go to L.A., Sacramento, I mean...
Yeah, it's not all that far away, right?
I mean, it's not bad.
Like, yeah.
I could definitely see an argument be made.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, the moral of the story for all four of these teams is that they're going to be some of the biggest players this summer, especially the Pelicans and the Lakers. But, like, Minnesota and Sacramento have some low-key, really interesting decisions to make, too. So I know we won't talk about them very much until the draft lottery or until the Lakers do fire Luke Walton. But there's a lot of drama brewing in this department over the next couple months. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, please follow us on Twitter at the NBA Pod. You can find our Twitter handles in our bio, so give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes, so please subscribe, download, leave some 5-star reviews. And we're now being hosted on Spreaker, so check them out on Twitter at Spreaker. Until next time, I'm Brian Toporek, and I was joined, as always, by Morten Jensen. Mort, get ready. Awards debate coming.
Yay.
Prepare your best defensive player of the year argument.
Oh, it's Rudy. I don't need an argument.
I will not comment until the next episode. So stay tuned, listeners. Yeah.
To my very, very enthusiastic self for next episode with awards, which I love. And you are totally not forcing me to do. And I'm blinking, guys. I'm blinking. Take care, man.
You too.